The federal government is ready to sue the banks over mortgage losses.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The federal government is on the verge of filing lawsuits against the nation's biggest banks. The New York Times reports this morning that the suits will accuse the banks of selling bad mortgages during the housing boom and saying they were top quality. Marketplace's Eve Tro joins us live now with the details. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Eve, what do we know so far about this coming lawsuit?
Here's what we know. The Federal Housing Finance Agency, and that's the group in charge of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, it's suing the big banks, Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, others too. That could happen as early as today, Tuesday at the latest, because of a court deadline. The agency wants to get billions of dollars out of these banks. It says they could have seen that the mortgage-backed securities they sold were awful, that it was obvious many people who took out mortgages were not making enough to pay for the homes. And when those people defaulted, that left the agency and us, the taxpayers, on the hook for about $30 billion.
And are the banks saying anything at this point?
Oh, no. They don't have a comment on the lawsuit. They say it because they haven't seen it yet. Not that if they had, they would have a comment. But their standard line has been that securities are a risk. Everyone knows that. The losses were due to a general downturn and not their mistakes.
And how does this lawsuit or this series of lawsuits fit into the other legal actions that are going on from the housing crisis?
Well, if you think of the mortgage crisis as a thriller novel, we're past the exposition and finger pointing. We're on to the intense legal action. You have the state attorneys general, all 50 of them, trying to settle with the big banks. And they want about $20 billion to lower people's monthly payments for those bad mortgages. Then there are the investors who bought the bad mortgages. They want to make the big banks buy them back. But if the banks are on the hook now for the federal government for $30 billion from the lawsuit, they could have trouble paying back everybody else, the states, investors, and other banks. You could say that would leave a lot of disgruntled stakeholders for the mystery sequel.
And it's interesting because if the federal government makes the banks pay $30 billion more, it could put the banks in a weaker position, weaken the financial system, and then hurt the federal government. So sort of a catch-22.
Yes.
Marketplace's Eve Tro, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, the price of gas is near the highest level it's ever been heading into a Labor Day weekend. The national average this morning is $3.64 a gallon. And many Americans just aren't buying it, as Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
For 9 weeks straight, America's drivers haven't even burned up all the gasoline and diesel pumped out by domestic refineries. And that means the U.S. has been a net fuel exporter.
We peaked in terms of U.S. gasoline consumption a few years ago, and we're not likely to approach those numbers, regardless of population growth.
Tom Kloza is chief analyst at the Oil Price Information Service. He says the slowing demand is partly due to the idling economy, but greener cars and trucks are also having an effect.
Fuel efficiency is unstoppable.
Yesterday, automakers reported hefty sales of smaller gasoline-sipping cars and hybrids. Jessica Caldwell follows the industry for Edmunds.com.
A lot of these smaller cars now are a lot more attractive than they used to be. I mean, they used to be just, you know, total econo boxes that no one really wanted. But that's definitely not the case today.
Even though we're using less gasoline, 80% of demand comes from overseas. And as long as those economies keep growing, there'll be expensive gas here at home. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are lower this morning. Hong Kong off almost 2%. We're seeing stocks between 2 and 3% lower across Europe. Here in the U.S., more evidence of trouble for the chain store The Gap. The discount chain Ross Dress for Less is about to overtake The Gap in market value, even though Ross Dress for Less only has a third as many stores and no online sales. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow dressed down 119 points to close at 11,493.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering IRA savings products and a Raise Your Rate 4-year CD. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com.
Well, we're just a couple hours away from the most important economic report of the month. That would be the jobs report from the Labor Department. It'll tell us how many jobs the U.S. economy added last month and what the new unemployment rate is. The Labor Department is also planning to release something else today, a proposal to extend the list of farm jobs that it says are too dangerous for kids. And as Sally Herships reports, that is causing a lot of controversy in the farming community.
This summer, two 14-year-old girls were killed while working in an Illinois cornfield. They were electrocuted by an irrigation system.
And that's a measure of the kind of hazard that we face. The likelihood of death for those kinds of child workers in agriculture is far greater than children working in any other industry.
Don Villarejo is director emeritus of the California Institute of Rural Studies. He says farms employ only 2% of U.S. workers, but a quarter of all children killed on the job work in agriculture.
So it's a very disproportionate, very disproportionately large share of child workers in ag who die as compared to other industries.
Farm jobs, he says, are dangerous. Zoe Villarejo says he's pleased the Labor Department is publishing a new list of farm jobs that will be off limits to kids under the age of 16. Banned areas include grain elevators and silos. Some work with animals will also be restricted.
With animals, you know, what does that mean?
John Thompson works with the Idaho Farm Bureau Federation.
That means the kids on a farm can't go out and milk the cow anymore, can't feed the chickens. Doesn't seem to make sense, and it seems like it's an example of the federal government poking its nose where it doesn't belong.
He says, of course, no one wants kids to get hurt, but he doesn't want family businesses hurt either. The new Labor Department rules exempt children working on their family's farm, but lawyers at one agricultural trade group are being careful. They're advising some members not to hire their kids. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, Allstate Insurance has a report out this week ranking the 200 largest cities in America when it comes to safe drivers. The winner? Fort Collins, Colorado, where the average driver will experience a collision only every 14 years. The national average is 10 years. As for the losers, drivers in New York City get into a collision every 7.3 years. Here in L.A., every 6.6 years. And Philadelphia takes the cake every 6.2 years. Allstate calls them road scholars. It's in need of maybe some more learning on the roads. More at Marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Living Social, Groupon, the daily deal, all the rage, of course. But how many discounts can you give before you go out of business?
If you get a response and you're a little teeny sandwich shop for 10,000 sandwiches, that's going to hurt your business instead of help your business.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Good deal, bad deal. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM. That's American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.